As you all know, Rosh Hashanah was yesterday, the birth of Christ. And I want to just spend a minute reemphasizing that who those shepherds were and that were keeping watch of the flock. So go to Luke 2 again. Now what happened here is I was fascinated with Bethlehem because of its, you know, its importance in the Old Testament and obviously with the birth of Christ. And so I looked in the index for Bethlehem, for the various Midrash, for the Talmud, for the Zohar. And this was in the Talmud and it was in the Midrash, both. And it's so important that without, you know, everybody in the first century knew about this. But so anyway, chapter 2, verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out to the city of Nazareth, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, which is Messiah. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, this, first of all, let's go to Micah chapter 5. Everybody find Micah? Now remember, this was also the time of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And so everybody was in an expectation of the coming of Messiah and the revelation of Messiah. And Bethlehem was critical. In Micah 5, you find it?
Yes.
In Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, thou though be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So that was the reason that Bethlehem was so important, was that scripture, that coupled with the 70 weeks of Daniel. 70 weeks of Daniel told them when, now the Bethlehem is where. So now, what it is, there was a tower known as Megal Eder, or and that what that means is the watchtower of the flock. And these were priests, official shepherds, who watched the flocks destined for sacrifice in the temple. Animals that strayed as far as that tower were still eligible for sacrifice. And the Jews had a conviction that Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem and that he was to be revealed from Megal Migdal Eder, or the tower. Now, this revelation of Christ by the shepherds as priests, we can't underestimate the importance of that. This was their job, to watch for Messiah. And as the Levites were singing Psalm 47, let's go there real quickly. And remember, they were, the shofar was blown over 100 times. And again, this day, the birth of Christ, or what's called the Jewish New Year, which really means the beginning of the New Age, or the beginning of the Age of Messiah. The shofar, in every other place where it was used throughout the year, had a silver mouthpiece. Only for Rosh Hashanah was the mouthpiece gold. And that was in honor of Messiah. And so, and let's just start in verse 5 of Psalm 47. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Now the trumpet is a shofar. Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. I believe they were singing that psalm while Christ was at his birth. And then the angels of the Lord broke out into singing. As they reveal to the shepherds, the Messiah is come. Now, this sends shivers up and down my spine, especially the first time I found it. It was like, oh my God, how important is this? Anybody have any response? Mr. Bojo? What's going on, Gary?
I'm having to read it. I miss some of the impact that you obviously.
Well, the whole, it says, first of all, the Lord, God is great. He's gone up with the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. That's the sound of the shofar that was sounding at the time that the Levites were singing. Sing praises to God, sing praises unto our King, sing praises. The angel came down, revealed to the shepherds whose job it was to let the rest of the country, or let the priests know when Messiah has come.
So this is his come. This is after he...
This is his birth.
Yeah. So while they were singing this, the angels were singing.
The angels were singing.
They were singing this in the temple, and then miles away, the angels were singing to the shepherds 12 miles away.
That's why it says, sing praises with understanding. And the understanding was, he who is everything is come. Now, again, this coupled with that report would have gone officially to the Sanhedrin. And then the next 8 days later, when Simon, who was of the Hillel family, Hillel, who was one of the most respected rabbis in the world or in the country, he goes up and interrupts this celebration of the circumcision of Christ. And let's look and see what he says again. Luke 2 again, back to Luke. verse 21. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Yeshua, or Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to her to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, or Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. So they had the witness of the 70 weeks. They had the witness of the shepherd priests. They had the witness of one of the most respected men in Israel that Messiah is come. And Herod was so upset. Then they had the wise men coming from afar. And Herod was so upset that he went and killed every baby in that area under 2 years old. So the point is that Sanhedrin is without excuse. Well, we know what they're thinking, it says. It says what the Sanhedrin thought. Shall one man die, or shall the whole nation be destroyed? Remember that?
Yeah, I guess I didn't understand that. The fullness of that, why he destroys their nation.
Well, let's read what it says. It's Matthew, or maybe it's Luke, I don't know. Somebody find it for me. Oh, where is it? Pete? Well, it says it. And it says, in effect, he says he was speaking by the Holy Ghost. It's better for one man to die than for the whole nation to be destroyed. That's the whole idea. Remember, the law of the Passover was that all had to kill a sacrifice. But still, as Melito says, if he had to die, why die at your hands, O Israel? Anyhow, that, to me, puts the coda on this whole idea of what Rosh Hashanah really means. The head of the new age, the head of the age of Messiah, the end. It heralds the end of the age of Adam. It heralds the end of Judaism. It heralds the end of everything. Now there's only vessels of wrath or vessels of mercy, and there's no in between. It doesn't matter what you call the outside of you. What matters is the religion that's going on inside you that is anchored and based on everything we've just studied. This is cosmic. It's not some... I mean, these things altered the universe. It's not some little religion thing and somebody had an idea. Well, we've missed it because we've cut ourselves off from the root. And so again, it's with all that is in mind, it's understandable why we don't know what repentance means, because we don't know what the age of Messiah means. How can you repent? How can you, if you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, you can't repent. Because what are you going to repent to? All you can do is say, "I'm sorry." You can't repent after godly repentance, which is repentance not to be repented of. This is a biggie. It wasn't an accident that we're studying repentance this time. So what's necessary for repentance then? We've studied it all.
It's like Job when he abhorred his flesh. He saw God abhorred his flesh, and repentance was what happened.
And that's there for our benefit, so you don't have to go through everything he did. So you can fill up the affliction that's lacking in the body of Christ by whatever little thing that's going on with you. First thing that's necessary is the understanding that your life is vanity, emptiness. There's no, you can't possibly think of something that would get you out of it. Second thing that's necessary is a total consciousness of spiritual emptiness and poverty. I've tried it like I did. I tried all that New Age crap and tried yoga and different forms of yoga. Anyway, the biggie is dethroning of your pride. It's a sense of personal unworthiness producing grief. And the willingness to surrender to God without condition. A strong spiritual hunger and thirst. Then you can pick up your cross. Then, if you pick up your cross, abandon yourself. Then you will follow him. It's as automatic as breathing. But if you continue on in your own way, the readings for your thoughts and your emotions, they are evil. It's not, you don't think evil, some evil thoughts. Your thoughts are evil because their source is in evil. To me, this just put this whole idea of studying as intently as we have what repentance means and the examples in the scripture, that just makes to me the Rosh Hashanah and his birth now is so mind-bendingly important. Otherwise, it's just a philosophy. Unless you know that his birth altered everything. It literally changed the universe, just as the fall changed the universe. Now we are in a new thing. We're not renewed. You can make the old better. The old dies so that you can be a partaker of that mystery, that heavenly. So your speech is seasoned with salt. Whatever you talk, you're speaking from the oracle. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have anything else? Anybody have any thoughts about Rosh Hashanah? You understand it better than you had before?
When I was teaching on it before our meeting yesterday, it's like everything we've ever studied attend to it, because it's Judgment Day, it's His birth, it speaks of your death. So it was just like there was nothing left out that surrounds His birth.
Amen.
And it really...
Everything's over.
Yeah, it was just so amazing.
Let's go before I change my mind. I need to talk about something else real quick. Go to Isaiah 26. Start in verse 12. Now this was another song sung by the Levites. Lord, verse 12, Lord, Thou wilt ordain peace for us, for Thou hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords besides Thee have had dominion over us. But now by Thee only will we make mention of Thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. This is all of the high place activity of your mind, where that whore of Babylon is sitting on the seven high places, manipulating you, trying to get you not to hear what I've said today, not to live it, to excuse leaving it. Which is inexcusable. It's not. It's inexcusable. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited Thee. They poured out a prayer when Thy chastening was upon them. And like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so we have been in Thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, and we has, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen, but Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for Thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out her dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth also shall disclose her blood, so shall no more, and shall no more cover her slain. It's done. It's finished. It's Judgment Day. Now, in the order, you have 10 days to repent, but we're we redeemed the time because we are so evil, so we have a few more days. Actually, it's because of the evil one's birthday.
That's right. Get that out of the way. I saw this movie a couple nights ago where it had a scene in it where it was all about Yom Kippur, and they read, I don't know if it was word for word what we said about Yom Kippur, but wherever you picked up the stuff you said about Yom Kippur, the high priest of this little coven of Jews, so to speak, and they were trying to.
One got those exact prayers that they said in Yom Kippur.
That's, well, it wasn't the prayers; it was just
a declaration.
The declaration of how important Yom Kippur was to the Jews. It was like everything to them. And this day when the priest went in, and the danger that he was in, and all the people were in the same danger because they
facing thought the end of the world.
Yeah, and I've never seen anything that emotionally captured the moment where everybody was just trembling, and it was like they were just on their faces. They were facing death, and if he didn't come out and whatever, it was over. It was so, it closed the links and the loops from all of our talk about it to the emotional reality of it. And I don't know about what the movie thing was. In the movie, they said that what the priest did when he went in there was say the name of God. That was his job. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was pretty interesting. That was what was passed on from rabbi to rabbi. But to say the unspeakable.
And then, but they had a specific blessings and specific declarations that were said for the temple, for the people, and for the high priest.
Yeah.
And those are what we've read those a jillion times over the years. But it's almost impossible to create by words alone that sense of that emotional tie to it.
Yeah, the danger, the glory, everything at once. You can't hardly contain it.
Amen.
I'm impressed how God has set these things up with the birth of Christ and Yom Kippur.
10 days later.
This is
all right. Anybody else? Everybody have a good Rosh Hashanah?
Yes.
Take it, big guy.
That's all for the end.
Yeah. By the way, was Ronnie?